to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are joined this half hour. It's just the guests just keep coming today. It's pretty fun. I mean, I love talking to you, Jane, but it's also very fun to talk to smart, interesting, funny people.
Absolutely.
Who are doing great things in the state of Wisconsin. And this includes friend of the show. This is your fourth time on here?
Can I be a regular guest?
I think you are going to be a regular guest. I feel like we're going to get you on like at least twice a month because Dan Schaefer, friend of the show, friend of civic media. I mean, really, you do your rounds on all of the shows on all of our different stations. And so
I've been everywhere.
You've been everywhere. Right. Dan Schaefer is the founder of the Recombobulation Area, which is a weekly column that focuses on Milwaukee and Wisconsin politics and news. And you, my friend, well, first, it was good to see you last night. Dan made it to the roast. He missed my set, which was a bummer because I had some good jokes that I really thought he was going to appreciate, but I had to tell him. I just had to recite them to him later in the night.
I was putting my daughter to bed, and I didn't make it there in time, but I caught most of the show, and
What was your favorite part of the show?
The Ron Johnson impression. Ryan Mason, a comedian I've known for a little while. He's hilarious, and it just brought the house down with the Ron Johnson impression.
It was. I'm trying to figure out if anyone recorded it because it was so funny. I mean, it's not something necessarily for we could play on air, but it was hilarious. It was, as we talked yesterday, we were talking about satire and parody and what The Onion did with the Supreme Court amicus brief and what he. What Ryan Mason did with his satire of Ron Johnson was excellent. And so, yeah. But I wanted to talk to you today because of the... So you are a one-man show, for the most
part.
Right. You have guests, you've guest writers who submit columns every once in a while. But the Recombobulation, you do not have a staff.
That's right.
And yet, for the second time... For the second election cycle, first time was 2020, now in 2022, you have taken on the Herculean task of reviewing 116 legislative campaigns or races. So all 99 assembly races, the 17 state Senate races that are up for re-election this year, and you have reviewed all of them as a one-man show.
The Recombobulation Area, the only publication crazy enough to preview 116 races in the Wisconsin State Legislature.
And why put yourself through this?
You know, I asked myself that several times as I was crafting this preview. But no, I think the state legislature is super important.
Yeah,
and I think
I agree.
If you follow politics in the state of Wisconsin, so much of what happens runs through the far-reaching powers of the Wisconsin state legislature. And I think it is... People don't pay enough attention to it. You know, the governor has such a difficult time getting any agenda passed because of the state legislature. You know, we have municipalities that are hampered by the lack of local control in the state because so much of the decisions happen at the state legislature. So I thought it was really important to really take a look at each and every one of these races, because every 2 years we have a chance to elect a brand new assembly. Every 2 years we have a chance to elect half of the state Senate. So I think it's just a super important part of politics in Wisconsin. And in going through it, you know, you get a really interesting look at kind of where the battlegrounds are in Wisconsin, where the competitive races are. You know, you get a look at all sorts of different kinds of candidates. I went to the campaign page for every single one of the candidates. So that is, you know, double the 116 races. So I've really seen a lot of what the candidates have to offer this year.
Well, I want to talk about which races you found that are going to be competitive. But what was your process? Because did you talk to all the candidates? Like, what was your kind of checklist as far as you're being like, all right, I have now reviewed this race. Like, what were the different checkpoints?
Yeah, so I did a bunch of my own reporting, talking to, you know, sources in the know who are involved with a lot of legislative races. And I used a couple different kind of more, I guess, numerical factors as well, because so much of these races rely on the geography of the maps. And we are on new maps for the first time in a decade. And we had maps that were characterized as perhaps the most gerrymandered state legislative maps in the nation in the last decade. And it just so happens that the maps that were adopted that the Republicans had brought forth are even worse. They're even more gerrymandered. There's even fewer races that are competitive. There's, you know, obvious cases of place of districts where the goalposts were moved to advantage Republicans. You know, part of the map redistricting process is to react to population changes over the past decade. Dane County was the fastest growing part of Wisconsin over the past decade. It did not get any new legislative districts, amazingly. So it's a very difficult map. And I think if you take a look at the projections, one of the projections that I used is a page called CAnalysis. They previewed 98 of 99 assembly races correctly in 2020. So I'm using their projections as part of the formula again. And their projections are saying that Republicans have a better chance, far better chance, of gaining a supermajority than Democrats have of gaining a simple majority. And this being Wisconsin, a 50-50 most closely contested state, you know, we're looking at more a greater likelihood of a two-thirds Republican supermajority than just any kind of basic competition, which is just pretty sad. It's not great, Kristen. It's not great.
Which is something. This is evoking the meme of the dog sitting in the fire of hell saying, "This is fine."
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah, I think that dog is from Wisconsin.
Yes. That's my dog. We're talking to Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, about his review of all 99 assembly races and 17 state senate races. So of the races you have covered and reviewed that, you know, you never know, maybe there'll be an upset, but there's some that actually are very competitive. We've had some of those people in the studio, which has been great. But as far as the ones you feel like are still potentially a toss-up, what did you find to be the more interesting ones that people should be paying attention to?
Yeah, so I categorized these and really focused on the competitive races. And like I mentioned, they're not a ton of them. But in the state Senate, we have a competitive race in the 31st district, which is in western Wisconsin. I think the biggest city in that district is Eau Claire. Democrat Jeff Smith is trying to hold the seat versus Dave Estenson, Republican, who was with Derek Van Orden at January 6th. So,
great.
You know, that's the type of candidates that they're running in western Wisconsin these days on the Republican side. So that is a district that Trump won by a few points in 2020. So it is going to be a challenge for the Democrat to hold this one. I think that is, you know, about as close to a toss-up race as there is in the state Senate. We saw another race that was, before redistricting, looking like possibly the best chance for Democrats to gain a seat in the state Senate. In the 5th district, in Milwaukee's western suburbs, that district included much of Wauwatosa and West Allis and Brookfield. But Republicans couldn't have a close competitive district in the Milwaukee suburbs. So they redrew the line so that I used a formula from my friend John Johnson at Marquette University, and he calculated the seat lean. So it was a slight Democratic lean to the 5th district going into the maps, but Republicans moved it so it had about an 8% Republican advantage. So it went from a 50-50 seat to one where Republicans have a distinct advantage. Jessica Katzenmeyer is the Democrat running in that seat. Rob Hutton, former assembly representative, is the Republican running there. That's going to be a close one. We've seen the western suburbs, particularly cities like Wauwatosa, really shift to the left in recent elections, where a couple assembly seats had flipped in 2018 and 2020. So that is those are probably the top two most competitive seats in the Senate. Another one, the 19th district, that's in the Fox Valley and the Appleton, Mena area. Kristen Alfheim is the Democrat running against Rachel Cabral Guevara. That's an open seat. Roger Roths is the current holder of that seat. He's running for lieutenant governor as a Republican as well. So some really important races. Those are really the top three in the Senate. There's another one in the Senate that's really interesting, too, is that the seat currently held by Democrat Janet Buley, she's retiring.
Yeah.
She's a Democrat. And that is a seat, that is a district that Trump won by close to 10 points. And so that is now becoming a likely flip candidate with kind of just the math there. And that picking up one seat in the state Senate will give Republicans a supermajority in there. So the assembly is a little bit different. The Republicans don't have to pick up five seats to get to a supermajority there. But I say the top three races in the state Senate, the 31st in the Eau Claire area, the 5th in the western suburbs of Milwaukee, and the 19th in the Appleton-Nina area are really the top races in the Senate.
Dan, can you explain what it will mean if the Republicans get a supermajority?
Well, if they just get it in the state Senate, which is what I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that they get it in the state Senate, it won't quite mean much. They need to get the supermajority in both chambers. If they do get the supermajority, they could override the governor's veto. So let's say Tony Evers wins re-election, close race there, nothing certain, but I think he has a decent chance to win. But if he were to win, he could face a legislature that is even more emboldened to be a hostile legislature and could override his veto with a two-thirds vote. So that would really change things with how politics operate in the state of Wisconsin. It's really flying under the radar, too.
This is where I always struggle, because I like putting myself in the shoes of people who don't, this isn't their job, right? Because even to the people around me now, like my husband and my parents, like I talk this because this is my job. Now some of the people who are closest to me know a lot more than they would have without me in their lives. And so trying to put myself in the shoes of the people who just don't really know what's at stake is hard, and talking about it in a way that cuts through the noise of everything else that's going on in people's lives. And is it just because you think the other outlets are not talking about it enough, or?
I just think there's so much oxygen being taken up by the gubernatorial race, yeah, and the Senate race. And, you know, every time you turn on your TV or computer, you're getting the ads for those particular races. And so the down ballot implications, you know, don't come into focus the same way. So I think, you know, that's part of the exercise of going through previewing all 116 races. You see the stakes of this, and I think there's a real chance for Republicans to get a supermajority. There's a path for them to do that. And I don't know if we have time to get into the assembly races before the break here, but
we don't. We probably don't. But I also want to talk to you about a couple different things when we come back, because I think there's an interesting trend, at least I've picked up on, of women disproportionately being able to, like, willing to run in districts that they likely won't win. But I also think there's just a conversation around how much does the candidate matter in any of these, you know, where the swing, the point difference is double digits, like, and what if we are stuck with these maps, what do you do besides just complain about the maps? And so when we come back, I do want to get to some of the assembly races, but I also want to, just as someone who's now spent so much time for two cycles now looking at this, what your opinion is on both of those questions. So we're going to take a break right now. Dan Schaefer will be with us when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Every way. Yeah. some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. That's why I bet you a nickel that you will be mine. I bet you you sign on the dotted line.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area. And we're talking about his just exhausting feat of reviewing and covering all of the different legislative races that are happening in less than 5 weeks, in 32 days. And the last segment, we talked about likely the three most competitive state Senate races. I think there's more. You said there's about 10 assembly races that are a little bit more competitive. I think we've had some of those people on the show, but which ones really stand out to you?
Yeah. So of the 99, there's really just 10 that are kind of in a single digit lean for many of these races. And so I have them characterized as there's one genuine toss up, four races with Democratic favorites, and five races with Republican favorites. And I think if you zoom out on these, that the Republicans are likely to gain seats overall. I think there could be a seat or two that Democrats could flip, and we can talk about those. But I think overall, it's likely that Republicans will pick up a couple seats in the Assembly, two of them being in open seats in northwestern Wisconsin, in two districts that border Lake Superior, the 73rd and 74th. Those are districts where there is a Democrat retiring, and it is a district that Trump won in 2020. So those districts are favored to go Republican this cycle. There's also the 13th district in the Milwaukee suburbs that was flipped from red to blue in 2020. Again, Republicans couldn't have that happening in the Milwaukee suburbs, so they went that from being about a 50-50 seat to being a 16-point Republican advantage. So that just those three seats alone, if Republicans win those, that would get them to 64. They need to get to 66 to get to the supermajority veto-proof threshold. So a couple of the races that I think to key on, and again, this kind of goes back to where many of the battlegrounds are in Wisconsin. One is the 94th district in western Wisconsin, just outside of La Crosse. Democrat Steve Doyle is looking to hold that seat. That's about as 50-50 a seat as you get in the state of Wisconsin. And then you have a number of places like Oshkosh. Gordon Hintz is retiring in Oshkosh. The mayor of Oshkosh, Lori Palmieri, is a Democrat running to hold that seat. That's an important one. There's races in Beloit, in Stevens Point, in kind of eastern Kenosha and Racine counties that are potential pickup opportunities for Republicans. And I think one of the races that is one of the most could be the difference between the supermajority is in the Milwaukee suburbs, the 84th district, which is a race where the favorite, the Republican running in this district, it's a very slight Republican lean. The favorite is Bob Donovan.
Wait. Isn't that the guy who just ran for mayor?
Yeah, he just ran for mayor of Milwaukee. And
he doesn't live there anymore.
Absolutely destroyed. And he lived in Milwaukee for a while. Now he lives in Greenfield. It's interesting how that has worked out for him, that he's living in both places and running in both places.
In the same year.
In the same year. Weird.
Because that mayor's race, as I knew intimately, was not that long ago. It actually was in this year.
I know. So, you know, a few months later, he's running in Greenfield. Good for Bob. And he's running against Lou Ann Bird, who is the former executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. She's served on school boards in Oshkosh and in the Greenfield area. And she's also doing some interesting fundraising with a friend of her family, I guess, Chris Porterfield, who had the band Field Report. They're running a bunch of concerts to fundraise for this, the Bird Songs, which is a really cool thing. But I really do think that this could be the most important race on the map in the Assembly, could determine whether or not, because this is a district that is currently held by a Republican who's retiring. And so this is probably the best pickup opportunity on the map for Democrats. So, you know, they've in 2018, Robin Vining won. in Wauwatosa in 2020. Deb Andricutt and Sarah Rodriguez won in the Milwaukee suburbs. Here's another race where you could see, you know, a Democratic woman flipping a seat in the Milwaukee suburbs. And so I think that could be a really important one to determine control in the state assembly.
Dan, I think it's so important to reiterate what could happen if the Republicans get a supermajority. So permitless concealed carry, which Governor Evers vetoed, would probably pass. A statewide abortion ban enforcing the 1849 law, again, with a Republican supermajority, would likely become state law. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, you know, you think about all the bills. Tony Evers vetoed a record number of bills in the last session, many of which were performative and ridiculous, and that they knew would get vetoed, so that they would try to paint Evers a certain way. So things like breaking up MPS or abolishing the Wisconsin Elections Commission, or all these ridiculous things that Republicans passed in the last 2 year session could get override. And I think there's another possibility here too, which is, you know, Republicans in the Assembly under Robin Voss's leadership are notorious for messing with the schedule for people coming to Madison for votes for veto overrides. Talk to any of the Democratic Assembly reps. They are often kept in the dark on when they are supposed to come to Madison to do their job. So Voss could schedule something and make it so that it would be difficult for people to get to Madison to have these votes, and then try to override things. You know, don't put anything past Robin Voss when it comes to this kind of chicanery. And it is also, I think, would be a test of Democratic leadership as well. Greta Neubauer is new to being the Assembly Minority Leader. It would be a test of her leadership to make sure all of the Democrats are voting on the same page in these vetoes as well, so we don't have a Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema type of situation with anybody in the Democratic caucus as well. So there's you know, potential for some really wonky and weird but important votes on these vetoes coming up.
That's all I have is just a really deep sigh of frustration, especially because we only have 2 minutes left before we have to let you go. Because we're going to start bringing you back more regularly, because we didn't even get to the questions that I had, because I'm not one. It is not my nature just to sit and complain. I like to have action items and things that we can work on. And, you know, depending on what lawsuits happen or things, how the Supreme Court race goes for Wisconsin Supreme Court next year. But in reality, there's a chance that we are stuck with these maps. And so we'll have to bring you back to talk more about what can be done and what this means for down ballot races of the future. But we'll definitely have you back before the November 8th election. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for putting all of this work into reviewing all of these races. That is so important, regardless of their competitive level. But thank you for all that you do. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And if I could just squeeze one more point in before we go, is that democracy is built from the ground up. So whether these races are, you know, have some sort of Republican lean, or is there a favorite, nothing is certain, and these are investing in these races and getting involved can make a difference in the long term. We're seeing it in a lot of races around the Milwaukee suburbs that are going one direction. So democracy from the ground up.
All right, we'll take a break.